Some things are just better together. Movies and popcorn, gaming and friends, Breezeline internet and mobile. Bundle and save with fiber-powered internet for just $19.99 per month, and you'll get a free mobile line for a year. It's a match made in savings. Visit Breezeline.com today.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
People will remember in Ireland last year, and really over the last couple of years, there has been a debate and discussion about introducing assisted dying legislation. So this was the subject of a Citizens' Assembly. Jean O'Kelly as well, the former TD, introduced a bill in the last Oireachtas. So the government, you know, have been, how would I put it, expressing a soft support for its introduction, but at the moment it is still not been legislated for. There are many who hope that will change. And when we've been having these discussions and debates, we have looked at other countries that have introduced it. We've talked about Canada on this show. So while we are here, we thought it was an opportune time to talk about it again, because Canada has been described as having one of the more liberal systems of assisted dying in the world, similar to maybe systems operating in the Netherlands or Belgium. So with me to discuss all of this are Dr. Chantelle Perrault, who is a board member at DWDC and a MAID assessor and provider. MAID is Medical Aid in Dying. That is what the acronym stands for. And Dr. Sonu Gain, who is a professor in the Faculty of Medicine at the University of Toronto. You're both very, very welcome. And thanks a million for joining us here on the show. I might just ask a little bit about MAID and the introduction of it, where it came from and what it is, for people listening at home here in Ireland.
Sure. Thanks so much for having us. It's a pleasure to be able to talk about MAID and to share some information. MAID is the medical treatment in which a person receives medication at their request, which results in their death, and either a clinician, a physician, or nurse practitioner administers the medication via intravenous lines, or the person is given a prescription for the medication, which then they can take by mouth on their own. And MAID came to Canada, came about because of decades of advocacy by people who were suffering and who wanted the right to end their lives in a safe and dignified manner at a time and place of their choosing. A turning point came with the February 2015 Supreme Court case, the decision in Carter v. Canada. Gloria Taylor and Kay Carter, two Canadian women living with ALS and spinal stenosis respectively, had put forth a constitutional charter challenge stating that their equality rights and right to liberty and security of the person were infringed upon by the criminal code provisions that prohibited physician-assisted dying. This case resulted in a unanimous decision in which the Supreme Court of Canada struck down the federal prohibition on MAID, and Bill C-14, Canada's MAID federal legislation, was enacted in June 2016, making MAID legal in Canada, but under very specific circumstances, one of which was that the person's natural death had to be what was called reasonably foreseeable. The ruling for Truchon in Quebec required the government to create new legislation, and after many extensions and delays, Bill C-7 was passed on March 17, 2021. This allowed people whose deaths were not reasonably foreseeable to apply for and, if eligible, to receive MAID.
Okay, so thank you very much for talking us through that, actually, because so many people, you know, only vaguely aware of the journey here. So at this moment in time, what are the criteria? Because I guess that's where the debate hinges a lot in Ireland, is this argument as to who might be able to access the kind of assisted dying support. So in Canada, what's the answer to that question right now?
Okay. To be eligible for MAID, a person has to have two independent medical assessments done, and they have to be found eligible by both of those assessors. It's important to note, though, that the decision to seek MAID is a very personal one, and most patients don't actually want to die. They want their suffering and all of its manifestations to end, and they see MAID as the best choice to do this. You have to be eligible for government-funded health services in Canada, you have to be 18 years of age or older, and have decision-making capacity. You have to have a grievous and irremediable medical condition. You have to make a voluntary request that is not the result of external pressure or coercion. You have to give informed consent to receive MAID after having received all the information that you need to make that decision, including receiving a medical diagnosis, available forms of treatment, and options to relieve the suffering, including but not limited to palliative care. And then that criterion of the grievous and irremediable medical condition has three sub-criteria. To have a grievous and irremediable medical condition, you must have a serious and incurable illness, disease, or disability, again, currently excluding a mental illness. You have to be in an advanced state of irreversible decline in capability, and you have to be experiencing intolerable suffering, mental or physical, from an illness, disease, or disability, or the state of decline, and that this suffering cannot be relieved under circumstances that the person considers acceptable. And I always emphasize that it's under the circumstances that the person considers acceptable, not me as an assessor or provider, not their family, not anybody else, but the person themselves.
Thank you again, Chantelle. Sonu, from your point of view, how well has the system worked since its introduction, or where are their shortcomings?
So thank you for the question. And I do need to just give a little bit of background as well, including my own. I should point out that I myself am not a conscientious objector to MAID. I don't have an ideological objection to it. In fact, I was formerly chair of my former hospital's MAID team. I would have never done that if I was a conscientious objector. What I also have seen is the reckless and irresponsible expansion of MAID that has occurred in Canada. So I, at this point, would not be involved in MAID myself, because the picture that Dr. Perot paints, with all due respect, is something that occurs for some people, but not others. I will start by saying we absolutely have had significant problems with MAID. Separate from the numbers, but your viewers should be aware of the numbers. We've had expansions in Canada, not just of MAID laws, that were not fueled just by legal decisions. These were voluntary choices made in policy by government as a response to active lobbying by very well-heeled organizations, including Dying with Dignity. And in terms of the numbers, no other country on the planet has seen the escalation in numbers that we saw in a decade. We went from zero MAID deaths prior to 2016 to over 15,000 MAID deaths in 2023. We've had more people die from MAID than from COVID. And my concerns with MAID are about the expansions that we've seen. So it's not at all the rosy picture that you're hearing. There is a dark side to it as well. And this is coming again from somebody who formerly chaired a MAID team. And the expansions have led to what we call Track 2, which is essentially what I would suggest, and this is based on evidence and surveys of the Canadian public, that the Canadian public has been subject to a bait and switch with. When MAID laws were first introduced, it was made clear by those who were advocating for them that they were seeking to have compassionate relief from people who were suffering a painful death. As soon as the first law came in, the lobbying and activism switched to push the laws as far as possible. And that includes now, as of 2021, the ability for any adult with any disability to get MAID, regardless of how much life they have left to live. They can have decades left to live. It's shifted from helping people compassionately avoid a painful death to, in my view, irresponsibly in some cases and wrongly providing death to people to escape a painful life, including social suffering, which remarkably several groups still deny can be fueling MAID.
Explain that, to the social suffering. In what way is that catered for in your mind?
So what has happened is that the supposed safeguard of a medical condition that can be considered irremediable, meaning one that won't get better, someone does need to have a medical condition, that's true. But our ability to predict whether certain things get better or not is terrible. And in addition to that, our ability to separate traditional suicide risk factors, I'm a psychiatrist, and the exact same factors that lead to traditional suicide risk, we see those in marginalized populations seeking and getting MAID. And to answer your question, what we now know from both national and provincial data is that patients on this track two, which expanded in 2021, they are far more likely to come from areas of residential instability, dependency, and material deprivation. We also know that almost half of people who get MAID on track two cite feeling a burden as a significant source of suffering fueling their request. Over 40% on track one cite feeling a burden. Nearly half of patients on track two cite loneliness as fueling it, and about one in five on track one also cite it. And the other thing I just want to loop back to briefly is my comment on bait and switch, because that is, I understand, a quite strong statement. But what Canadians have been told and sold MAID is about, they've been told and sold that it's about their individual autonomy and the right to die. The reality is that suicide is actually not illegal. I'm obviously not advocating for suicide. My career and profession works in suicide prevention. However, the point is, the right to do something oneself is one thing. The entitlement to have someone else do it for you is different. And that's what MAID is about. It's to have a medical practitioner provide you an easier death. By the way, 99.99% of all those 15,000 deaths are lethal injection by a medical practitioner, not self-administered drugs that people take, unlike many other places. And just looping back on the bait and switch, the last point I want to make on this for now is that when you actually talk to the Canadian public, there was a survey that was in the British Medical Journal Open last year, and they find that about three quarters, about 75% of the Canadian public say that they support our current MAID laws. And in that same survey, in those same people, when they're asked, do you support MAID in these situations, and they're provided specific examples, about 75% say, no, I don't. And that's because they don't know what the laws actually allow for. It's the same group of people who say they support the MAID laws, but they actually don't support the cases that MAID is allowed for, and less than one in five of them realize you can get MAID outside end-of-life conditions.
Chantal, the people in Ireland who argue against the introduction of this legislation would hold up the example of what Sonu talked about there. They would say, listen, we are as compassionate as anybody else, and you know, those kind of hard cases that we get presented with, it is very hard on an individual basis to argue that somebody like that, you know, shouldn't be allowed to end their suffering. But it's the slippery slope argument, and they'll say, listen to what Sonu said, look at the slippery slope in Canada, this is why we shouldn't do it. What would you say to that?
I don't think there is a slippery slope. And I think looking at the numbers of MAID, the increase in the numbers of MAID deaths year over year makes sense to me. MAID was new 9 years ago. It's now an established procedure. There's still a lot of people in Canada that don't know that MAID is a legal end-of-life option, including a lot of clinicians. There's a lot of misunderstanding about the legislation and how it's applied, and a lot of misinformation that gets repeated over and over again. So I think as more people become aware of MAID, and as they experience either through seeing a friend or family member go through MAID and see what a peaceful death it can be for them, I think more people are going to be choosing MAID because they'll see it as a safe and comfortable way to end their suffering rather than having to live for an extended period of time with that suffering. So I don't see a problem with that. And I do think at some point over the years, there will be a kind of leveling out, and the number of people seeking MAID will be a more fixed percentage of the population. The other thing is that we have an aging population. There are going to be more and more deaths per year because we have this aging population. And I think people who value autonomy in their lives also value autonomy in their deaths and want to be able to make that choice.
What do you say to the point raised about the overrepresentation of people from certain socioeconomic groups and from, you know, deprived communities and from, you know, what we would have called in the past broken homes, but from maybe more chaotic backgrounds?
That's certainly not something that I've seen in my own practice or heard from colleagues. And I understand the data from the Health Canada survey does group people by their postal codes. And there are some postal codes where there are more impoverished people living. There are also postal codes that are caught up in that have a lot of elderly in their population. Then there's going to be a lot more turnover and a lot more death in those areas and a lot more MAID in those areas because of that elderly population. So I think it depends on how you interpret the data, and it can be skewed to favor many different arguments.
Sonu?
So a couple of things. I would welcome Dr. Perot to actually point out any misinformation I'm providing, because I'm not providing any misinformation. I know you didn't specifically say that, but none of my concerns raised are misinformation. They're purely based on evidence. And I would actually welcome response to the evidence. And I'm very well familiar with the MAID laws. In terms of this issue of the risks and the autonomy, you know, again, I would suggest that we all think about what autonomy means. And our own lives the choices we have to make, because having a choice to have dying with dignity essentially also assumes that we are not seeking death as an escape from life that society did not allow us to live with dignity. And in fact, today in Quebec, I think they're starting, hearings on a case. And, you know, I'm giving you a specific case, but this is also embedded in the data. So a case in Quebec of Mr. Meunier, who was a poor fellow who ended up being in an emergency room for about 3-4 days and ended up developing a severe bed sore because he wasn't able to get a pressure mattress or be turned by nurses. And in the end, he chose MAID. He did an interview on CBC and was tearful the night before getting it. He didn't choose this as an autonomous choice. What he wanted was to have a pressure mattress. What he wanted was to be turned so he didn't develop these terrible bed sores. That's not autonomy. That's coerced autonomy. That's a coercive choice. That's saying, like, I would have autonomy to jump out of a burning building if what I really want is to have the building stop burning. Our social programs, our lack of access to healthcare, you know, your listeners should be aware that in Canada, because of the activism advocacy that there's been, we don't even have a requirement that people need to have had access to standard treatments, if you can believe that. We're seeing a gender gap emerge of more women than men getting MAID in a lot of soft areas, including on track 2, which is concerning for marginalization issues. That's been entirely dismissed. And we also have cases in the coroner's reports. So this is from a coroner's report of cases, for example, of a man who had some medical condition, that's true, wasn't leading to the bulk of his suffering. He also had psychiatric conditions, including depression, history of suicidality, and addictions. The addictions went untreated. During a psychiatric assessment, his psychiatrist asked him if he had thought about MAID. He ended up getting MAID after being driven, quite literally, to get MAID by the physician who was one of the assessors or providers. And this poor guy wasn't able to get treatment for his addictions, but he's able to get chauffeured by a doctor to get MAID. Tell me that's autonomy.
Is there a way that you could introduce assisted dying legislation or a framework for it that wouldn't inevitably lead to the point that you find yourselves now in Canada?
Potentially, but I think the heart of the problem here is that in Canada, and again, I know you're having your debates as well, I think that there needs to be honesty about what death is being provided for. That's not what has happened with the advocacy that's led to expansions or introduction of MAID laws anywhere. The reason I say that is that when we pretend that we're providing MAID for a medical condition that won't get better, and we pretend we're doing it under the white lab coat's auspices of being compassionate, but in reality, we also know that there are people who are getting it driven by social suffering. You know, Dying with Dignity, to this day, on their website, claims that it's a myth that people can get MAID fueled by, you know, social suffering, including housing instability. It's remarkable. They have that prominent on their website, and some of the Canadians who've gotten MAID obviously haven't gotten that memo, because they have literally said that it's not my medical illness that took me out. It's the system, lack of ability to get home care, lack of ability to get stable housing. And these people have gotten MAID. So I would say the only way to do it, potentially, is if we're honest about what someone is really getting it for. And right now, that's not what we've seen in Canada.
And Chantelle, would you advocate that Ireland follows Canada's example?
Yes, absolutely. I think Canada is a model for medical assistance in dying in the world, a leader in advocating for patients for their autonomy. As a MAID provider, I don't think I'm alone, and I do not want to provide MAID to anybody who does not actively want MAID. They have to actively and consistently request it. They have to seek it out. They have to go through the rigorous assessments. They have to really want to die with medical assistance in order to receive it.
Dr. Chantelle Perreault is a board member at Dying with Dignity Canada and a MAID assessor and provider. And Dr. Sonu Gain is a professor in the Faculty of Medicine at the University of Toronto. Thank you both very, very much.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.